Bill Henry.
I just saw this story about a cyclone hitting Fiji. What time of year is this? This is December. I was in Fiji in February. And it's one of the most spectacularly beautiful places I've ever been in my life. It may be the single most spectacularly beautiful place I've ever been, outside of some parts of Northern California, Hawaii. I mean, you know, you can pretty much guess. And there's probably places far more beautiful than those places I just mentioned. I haven't been to them, though.
The most beautiful place that I've ever seen, that I've not been to, but in my mind, the Finland. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Finland is a place.
What do you mean, the Finland?
Yes, the Finland. There's the country Finland, but there's also the Fin... I forget what it's called.
The Finland?
The fjord.
The fjords?
Who are they?
I don't know.
I mean, who are they? Those are cliffs.
Yes, yes. The Finland fjords. Yes. Now, I've never been there, but that's the most beautiful place I'm sure that I would be if I'd been there.
Okay, but you haven't been there.
No, but let me tell you the story. Very dear friends of mine, John and Mary, I forget her name now.
Margaret, are these very dear friends of yours?
They were very dear friends. I haven't had any contact with them in a long time. But they were. But they got married on a fjord in a fjord. I think that's the other way around.
I don't know what you just said.
No, she said that they got married on a Finland and fjord.
On a Finland and fjord. You got it wrong, because it's a fjord in Finland.
You're sure about that?
I would bet all the money I've got in the world.
Well, that's not a lot, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Well, you don't know how much money I've got. I bet everything that I've got, and everything that you've got, bud, even though you think it's yours, I'll take it from you and bet it, and then I'll double your money for you. What do you think of that?
Sounds good to me.
And you're sure it's a Finland fjord?
It's a... Margaret, don't... Come on. A fjord is a cliff in the country of Finland. So that's the most beautiful place that you think you'd ever been if you'd been there?
If I'd been there, yes.
Okay. What's the most beautiful place you've been to that you've actually been to?
Oh, my God, it could be anywhere. The island of Crete, I think Greece, I think Cyprus. Crete, though, is breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. Sardinia is gorgeous. Florence, I think the Mediterranean, I would vote for the Mediterranean. Just absolutely spectacularly gorgeous.
When were you there?
I haven't been there I don't think I've ever been there. No, I have.
Well, I know you're in Italy. You're reporting on the Iraq war in Italy. I don't think I've ever been there. I'm talking about where you've been.
Yes, I've been there.
In Italy?
Yes.
What about Crete and all those places?
Crete. Where is that?
Oh, you know, never mind.
Phil, I'm joking with you. Can't you take a joke? You're always joking with people.
So you've been to Crete?
No. I've been to Cyprus.
Where have you been, okay?
Don't raise your voice with me, Phil.
Where have you been?
Please, don't raise your voice.
Where have you been?
I've been to Cyprus. I've been to Italy. And I've been to Crete.
You just said that you'd never been there.
You said you were never in Crete.
Well, I lied.
Where am I, folks? Because I thought I was on the planet Earth, you know?
You know, you're the only one that gets to joke with people. When I joke, everyone's all serious, like you want to break out the SWAT team. And all I've got left is one round, and I go out by my own hand. I mean, that's...
Margaret, don't ever make a joke like that again.
I'm not joking. That's what you're forcing me into.
Don't even say that, then, okay? On the heels of what we've just all lived through.
Phil, I'm saying...
I don't care what you're saying. I'm not interested in what you're saying. Don't ever say that.
Fine, I'm going to the toilet.
You gonna throw up?
No, I'm going to have a bowel movement.
God!
Well, you asked for it.
God!
You did ask for it. All right, well, welcome back here, folks, to the show. Let's see, it's only about 9 minutes into the hour. That was one of the quicker ways of introducing our show, reintroducing, resetting the table, as they like to say in some venues, of the Phil Henry Show. Now, big news, not big news, but big news in our neighborhood. Twin NASA spacecraft built in Colorado crashed into the surface of the moon Monday at 3:29 p.m. Mountain Standard Time and about 3 kilometers apart after completing a relatively brief but successful mission. Why are they saying they were built in Colorado? Because this story is from the Denver Post. And they're taking a bit of regional pride, and who can blame them? The probe's mission objective was to obtain a gravity map of the moon in unprecedented detail, said Kevin Cuddy, spacecraft team system lead with Lockheed Martin in Waterton Canyon. The mission has produced the highest resolution of any planetary body to date. Lockheed Martin workers in Colorado designed, built, and operated the two craft named Ebb and Flow under NASA's $500 million Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, or GRAIL, program. A key finding the probes made is that the moon's crust is not as thick as originally thought and comparable to the Earth's crust. That supports models that the moon originated out of an impact with the Earth rather than being captured by it, said Mark Weiseroke, GRAIL co-investigator, in a statement.
What's that mean?
It means that the moon was part of the Earth at one time, as opposed to just another independent body in space that the Earth's gravity captured and captured in its gravitational pull and thus began this orbiting thing.
Yeah, but I mean, so that must have been way bigger.
Yeah, the Earth probably was a lot bigger, and who knows what the Earth was like. If you ever really want to flip out, if you really want to just kind of, like, you know, lose your mind, take a look at a map of the Earth, you know, millions and billions, like 2 billion years ago. It doesn't even look like...
What are you talking about?
It doesn't look like the Earth, man. It's got... The continents are all wrong. I don't think there's any water, or if there is, it's very small.
You talk about the planet we live on.
The planet we live on now, the continent shape that we see on a map was not always that way. India was part of Africa, and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things. They've often said that if you look at the map of the Earth, if you see the continents, you can see... It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You can see where parts of one continent fit in with another. And that indeed is how it was. As the Earth, the tectonic plates shifted over millions and millions of years. The reason why we have the Himalayas. Do you know why there's such a thing as the Himalayas?
God made it.
Yeah, well, no, God made it, man. He's asking why.
Because God made it the way that he was going to make it.
That is so childish of you. I'm back, by the way.
Thank you.
And I had to use the toilet paper I brought from home.
Well, we'll get some more tomorrow, Ms. Gray.
Thank you.
So...
What are you rolling your eyes for?
Just the way you love to announce how you're back and you just had to use toilet paper. It's a marvelous thing.
You know, you're kind of a lightweight, Phil, for a rough, tough guy, aren't you? You're all macho, but when it comes to a simple bowel movement, you're very...
Okay, do we have to talk about that?
Excuse me for living.
You know, nobody's got anything against you living, Margaret. You talking about your...
bowel movement.
God, Ms. Gray, you're not allowed to say that on account of the FCC.
The FCC? I want to meet the FCC commissioner that's going to fine me for asking very sweetly and innocently, is there any toilet paper because I'm in here, and if there isn't any...
All right, Margaret, we understand. Yes, you're right. Okay, fine. Can I now move on? So, now I forgot what I was saying.
You talk about the Earth. Planet Earth.
I know I was talking about the planet Earth. In any event, the world has changed. Now, the probe's mission objective was to obtain a gravity map of the moon in unprecedented detail. Lockheed Martin workers in Colorado designed and built Ebb and Flow. A key finding the probes made is that the moon's crust is not as thick as originally thought. The two craft, about the size of washing machines, traveled at a synchronized distance from each other with equipment that would measure minute fluctuations resulting when they encountered changes in the gravitational pull. By May, they had completed their initial mission with enough fuel to start a second run, which they did at the end of August. They did this at a lower altitude of 14 miles. So these probes that we had sent up to the moon, we sent to track the gravitational pull, to measure the gravitational pull of the moon.
And why would it be different from one place to the next?
The magnetic field of the moon or the magnetic gravitational field, it changes like it does here on Earth. We have a stronger and not so strong areas of gravity here on Earth. That's a very layman's read on this thing.
You're not sure?
I wouldn't want to be quoted, but that's what I think.
Well, we should get a doctor. What about Dr. Turner?
That's not about a bud.
What?
Are you listening? Get Dr. Turner on the phone, will you?
It's 2 o'clock in the morning there. He's going to flip out.
Get him on the phone.
All right.
Just ask why. Just get him, okay? He's probably up. He's always at that freaking thing.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, I get Mountain Meadow. Yeah, Directory Assistance. Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverton, Colorado. Yeah, I'll hold.
Okay, do you got to do everything at the top of your lungs?
I'm just trying to be heard because you're doing a show.
So Ebb and Flow...
Yeah, I'll hold.
Ebb and Flow built at the foot of the Rocky Mountains...
Oh, Dr. Turner? Yeah, Bud Dickman. Yeah, yeah, how's it going? Hey, hey, listen,
give me the phone. Dr. Turner, hi, Phil Hendry. Can we go on the air with you? On the air right now? You've got company? Yeah, we are on the air. I did mention that. It's your son. Okay, I'll tell people it's your... I mean, yeah, oh, your son's visiting. Uh-huh. They did hear me say, I'll tell people. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a bad day. What happened? Well, look, we got to go on the air, Doc. If you don't mind, we can talk about this on the air. Yeah, we can talk about it on the air. Dr. Ron Turner joining us here, folks, from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And I apologize, Doc, that we're getting you on here. We just wanted to talk about gravitational pull.
Well, you know, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that, but I told you that I have company, and if my son is visiting. Oh, they already know it isn't my son, is that it?
Well, I...
They heard me instruct you to say it was my son.
I'm afraid I gave it away.
Oh, God. You understand that I'm having a big dispute with my son's mother, my ex-wife, and if she gets hint of the fact that I've got a girlfriend here tonight... Go to bed, Josh. Go to bed. I'm on the radio with Mr. Henry. Go to bed.
I apologize.
You know, I don't mind you calling in the middle of the night. I don't mind you banging on the door in the middle of the night, as you have done.
When did I ever bang on the door of your house in the middle of the night?
You don't remember when you were here in Denver? It was that, what was it, a radio programming convention? Do you want me to go on? The fumes, I could smell the fumes from the front door.
All right, yes, I do remember. All right, Doc, look, all I want to ask you about is gravitational pull.
All right.
We're talking about the moon probes, the Grail.
Yes, they crashed those. That was here in Colorado where those were made.
I understand that. That's what we saw here. Lockheed Martin there in Colorado.
That is absolutely correct. I know the team that worked on it. They did a very good job. Not a great job, but a good job.
Well, what do you think they could have done better?
Well, I think they could have done everything better. I don't think that when you're talking about going into outer space, and in this instance we're going to the moon, you're not talking about something that it's not an esoteric or exotic trip. We've done it before. You understand? We've done it before. So going to the moon a second time, I'd like to see us hit it out of the park and do some real interesting things. Instead, they orbited these two small washing machine-sized craft that registered and measured the gravitational pull. What did I just hear?
That's my engineer. We have to break.
All right. Would you not have him say that in my ear?
I apologize. He said it to me. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner.
Tell him not to say it in my ear.
He heard you. Thanks, Dan. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The so, Phil Hendry
that?
Show.
That's a recording.
Well, who's talking? Who am I talking to?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, we really need to... one of the problems that we have is... We've allowed ourselves to have a discourse and a dialogue in this society, which is, you know, we're free to do whatever the hell we want to do, but we entertain and what is the word? We give credence to imbeciles, you know. We let idiots with their crazy ideas about life take center stage and proffer their philosophies, and we sit there and we nod and we go, well, thank you very much, Charlie. Wasn't that really interesting? And we roll our eyes, right? like people who think that if we crash something into the moon, we're going to change the orbit of the moon, you know.
You don't think that's possible?
No, I don't. Now, you know, there's all kinds of crazy things, and I think we got to get back. We got to get our feet back on the ground around here, man. This survivalist stuff. If you are so intent on surviving that you've got all these guns and all this canned food and all this stuff, man, I'd rather just die, you know, than live like that. I don't know what's coming. But to run away from whatever's coming and live in a hole in the ground with your canned goods, I wouldn't live like that for love or money, man. I'd rather go up in flames in whatever battle royal is about to take place.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes, I'm serious. I get so sick and tired of listening to people. People hang on to life. You know, life is a precious thing. There's no question about it. But it's not worth hanging on to if you sacrifice your self-respect, your self-esteem, your care and concern for your neighbors, your love of your country. Some of these survivalists are the most gutless bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Rather than fight for the survival of the nation and to try to make the nation, you know, get back on a, if they think things are going so wrong. And these people, I'll tell you something else about them. They think they're right. Oh, they're right. They're just, you can't talk them out of it. You know, they're absolutely right that this is that and that's this. And when you make them look like a complete and utter ass, as is done regularly, they just, you know, go right back to whatever it is they're doing. Like, we were listening to some tapes for our podcast, and I heard our show not too long ago. It was right after Y2K. And listening to the people justifying being stupid, which is what they were, people that were loading up on canned goods and loading up on all this stuff because Y2K was going to mean the end of civilization as we know it. And then when it didn't happen and you went back and you talked to those people, oh, well, I better be safe than sorry. Safe than sorry? What are you being safe from? Something that wasn't going to happen? Why, you read a book? I talked to the experts myself. I talked to the people that were handling the computers, that were handling all of the credit systems, the credit card systems, how they were reading the data off of cards, because that was the thing that people were worried about. You're going to put a credit card into a machine that can only read as far as 00, and you've got a credit card that says, you know, a 12 on it. What's going to happen? It's going to crash the whole system. No. So, you know, we just love all this horse dung. I was watching a thing. You remember this thing about how all the dinosaurs died from a meteorite?
Yes, that's what they said.
Well, guess what? First of all, you know, we've had events here on Earth since humans have inhabited this planet. Forget about dinosaurs. We've had large things crash into the Earth that have caused explosions as big as atomic bomb blasts. The most recent being the event in Russia back at the turn of the 20th century. And we talked about it, remember?
Yeah, you said that was like a comet or something.
Well, whatever it was, man, it was a blast that was heard by people in all directions. It was seen by some people. And in point of fact, when they finally got in and hiked in, it took them 10 years. 10 years, because we're talking about a people, tribal people, that were absolutely stunned and didn't have a whole lot of contact with the outside world anyway, and the word began to filter back toward the civilized world that, oh, this large event took place. Well, what was it? Well, it was an explosion. Did you hear it? Yeah, and I talked to a guy who heard it, and like, geez. So finally, some scientists from Moscow hike into this area, and they find thousands of square miles of flattened forest. Flat.
Well, it wasn't blown up.
It was not blown up. It was flattened. So what was that? That was an explosion above the Earth's surface. Now, the point that I'm trying to make here is we have had all kinds of explosions that if they wiped out the dinosaurs, one meteor hitting somewhere in the neighborhood of the Gulf of Mexico, I believe, is where they said it took place, and that kicked up enough dust and enough explosive power and set fire to enough trees to kill off all the dinosaurs. Well, scientists are now thinking that one anew, and they're saying, guess what? That's a load of horse dung. Nothing is going to kill that many animals. Now they think, you know what they think it was?
What?
Disease. The dinosaurs made each other sick from the migratory patterns of these different animals. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, but a meteorite's way better to talk about.
Maybe, but still horse dung.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, you know.
What?
Well, that's all I got to say about that, man. We had one other thing that we were going to talk about. I was actually getting tied up with a lot of entertainment news here that Dennis Leary was flipping out over the fact that Euclid, the first baseman for the New York Yankees, used to play for the Boston Red Sox. He thought that was amazing that the guy's Jewish. I don't know. In other words, the non-news...
Well, what was the Matt Lauer thing you were reading?
Matt Lauer apparently asked a, quote, tough question. I couldn't see it. Anne Hathaway, when she got out of a car for the premiere of Les Miserables in New York, I think, apparently her bra malfunctioned, or so you saw her breast or you saw her nipple or something. And apparently this is what passes for a tough question among Anne Hathaway fans when... He said to her, "We've seen a lot of you lately," Lauer quipped.
That's supposed to be a tough question?
Yeah, I don't understand. And this gets back to what I was talking about a couple of years ago, manufactured news, you know. Isn't there enough stuff happening, man, where I don't have to, if I'm looking for something, there's got to be enough happening where I don't have to find something that you guys at Fox News or CNN or anywhere else manufactured. Anne Hathaway... So, her bra malfunctioned. I mean, dude, that is so boring. And I got to tell you, I there's a lot of guys, I think, that are out there in the world, and maybe women too, I don't know, who are, searching for nude pictures of this celebrity or that celebrity. Now, I don't think you guys that do that have ever really seen a naked woman, not up close and personal anyway. That gets back to that whole Asperger's thing.
Bringing ass.
Not ass, Asperger's.
Well, what does that mean? They're so socially inept, they've never seen a naked woman.
Exactly. And so they go online and they think it's a big deal to... I think that stuff is being... it's being traded by a lot of socially retarded, and I use that word in the very strictest definition, not in the pejorative, but seriously, if you want, we can say socially maladjusted individuals that you've ever seen in your life. Do you, and I'm being honest with you, I like the way a naked woman looks, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a celebrity. I don't know that there's anything all that special about that.
Well, you don't think, for instance, if you had the choice between a nude, well, I...
It wouldn't matter to me. I'm telling you right now. Now, if you say, well, Playboy magazine this month is featuring a naked, even if they said that they'd gotten Scarlett Johansson to agree to a full...
Like, if they said they had Scarlett Johansson for a full lo-fi spread.
What does that mean, a full lo-fi spread?
That is filthy.
Well,
I don't even know that it's filthy. What does that mean?
Well, I think you know.
No, I don't know.
Just real low fidelity.
Yeah, I think he's talking about, like, you know...
Are you talking about early morning? Well, you...
Right. Ow! Oh! Whoa!
Early morning what?
Do.
Oh, would you people grow up?
That's what he was... I didn't do it. He did.
Woo!
You know, you're going to keep hitting him, man. He's going to charge you with assault.
I never touched him.
In any event, so it goes. And now this Anne Hathaway thing, she gets out of a limo, and somebody gets a picture of her, and there's nipple. Okay, that's, you know, pretty cool, I guess. Am I going on a mad search for it? No. Is it because I don't necessarily think she's beautiful? No. It's got nothing to do with that. I barely know who she is, to be honest with you. But that's neither here nor there. It was somebody that I knew who it was. The only person that I would say it's worth looking up to see nude would be someone like you saw every day, like a news anchor or something.
Like who? Like Ann Curry? Frank said to me that he has the same opinion of nude celebrities as you, but he did say if he knew where he could get his hands on a nude Ann Curry shot, I think he used that phrase. What do you use, bud?
What?
What's the phrase you use? All over it?
All over it like white on rice.
Yes.
Frank would be all over an Ann Curry nude shot like white on rice.
Yes, because she's part Asian. And that was his point, I guess.
Is that a joke?
I think so.
He'd be all over a nude shot of Ann Curry like white on rice, and he said white on rice because she's Asian.
I think so, yeah.
Is that funny to you?
Well, it's not funny, but it's Frank. You know, we have a saying in our house. Even Jason J. Delmonico says it, and he calls him Dad, but he'll say, it isn't funny, but it is Frank.
It isn't funny, but it is Frank, which means it's sort of funny.
No, most of the time it means it's weird or sadistic or sick.
It's not funny, but it's Frank.
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you, Phil, I've been thinking of a book or one of those toilet tank books. I don't mean to be talking about the toilet so much.
Well, you do it every day.
Could you shut your mouth, please, before I really, really keep the ring turned around? So, why are you doing that?
There's a story you missed.
Bud, would you quit pointing at the chlamydia and syphilis story?
Come here.
No.
Come here.
Yeah! Oh, that hurt.
All right, so here is my point. It's not funny, but it's Frank. He's weird. He's my husband. I forget what I was talking about.
Yeah, I did too. Boy, what a waste of time.
Well.
It's just a waste of time. All right, so, we were talking about the nude. Yeah, so the nude pictures, if Frank wants to see Ann Curry nude, he'd be all over it like white on rice. Good for him. I think that's probably what I was saying, though. I think people that are familiar. But I got to be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired of this manufactured news, man, because I don't think there's anybody out there that gives a damn. I guarantee you. And yet, there we are, having to deal with this. All right. What other news do we have here that I wanted to talk to you guys about? Why you should probably stop eating wheat. The rest of this news is just funky. I think what's happened to me, and this whole weekend, as a matter of fact, has been destroyed by this story. I think we should have taken our vacation early. As a matter of fact, I just might. Because this story that came out of Newtown just blew me away. And we on Friday night, we were able to just keep it at arm's length. But it is so, and I believe that these things should be discussed at the level of the city council, the level of PTA meetings, at the level of the United States Congress, at the level of letters to our elected representatives, as well as the president. But what talk radio does to topics is, and it's done it to this one too, talk radio has turned it into a hot dog stand. That's what it is. It's not selling hot dogs. It's selling horror and mayhem and murder. And everybody line up to get a little piece of it as we sit here and we jawjack it.
You are biting the hand that feeds you, you know.
What hand that feeds me? Say that again.
Well, figuratively.
Yeah, uh-huh. I ain't getting fed by talk radio. I got news for you. Now, this format has been at the fore of making what happened on Friday into nothing more than a cotton candy stand where people can line up and get the latest cotton candy or hot dog or whatever. That's what this topic is. That's what all of these topics in talk radio turn into. To make this into a gun control issue shows, A, just how stupid the people are that are on the radio these days, myself, of course, excluded.
Of course.
B, it shows how off the point they are. If we're talking about little kids, then that should be the number one concern, not whether you get to hold on to your gun or not. And again, I'm going to keep reiterating this. I happen to be a gun rights advocate. And I have to keep saying that because some stupid clown's liable to write me an email saying, well, you people, you liberals, you wouldn't know a liberal, man. So guys that call me liberal wouldn't know a liberal if the guy came up and kicked him square in the you-know-what like Margaret's done to Bud twice tonight.
Yeah, on the same side, too.
All right. No. It's got nothing to do with your guns are going to be fine. Your guns will always be fine. We know that. What we don't know is this. We don't know that our kids are going to live. We don't know that our little kids are going to live. We don't know that our little 5-year-old kindergartners are going to go to school. I know your gun is going to be fine. You're going to have it. It's going to be there in the closet. It's going to be there in your house. It'll be there available for your kids to pick up and play with. I don't know. What do I know? I got no rights. I got no rights. I don't know what the hell is happening in your house when it comes to your guns. Nobody told me, Phil Hendry, Mr. Citizen, yes, you can be assured that that gun is locked up. Mr. I don't get to know that. I got to just take somebody's word for it. Now, this lady who got killed, the mother of this kid, she's dead. This kid had access to the weapons. Well, not only that, he goes, he butchers up God knows how many people, 26 people. He's dead. And we're supposed to sit here, and the first thing that I got to make sure I say is that your gun's okay. Your gun's okay, man. Nobody's going to take your gun. But you can't guarantee to me that my kid's going to be okay, my five-year-old kid. You can't guarantee to me that I'll even know where your gun is. Does your kid have it? Does your crazy, psychotic kid have it? I can't ask that question. Nobody's going to tell me anything about that because I don't have any rights when it comes to that. I'm supposed to trust that you got it together. All right, that's fine. I do, as a matter of fact. I do trust you. There's a problem, though. All it takes is one, just one nut, just one weird ass like this woman who's handed guns over to some kid with God knows what personality disorders, and the next thing you know, she's dead. He's dead. A whole bunch of other people are dead. Speaking of punishment, I just got one little news flash for you. That kid killed himself. Okay? Now, that's the death penalty, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that that's about as stringent a piece of punishment as you could possibly lay on somebody? Isn't that just about as bad as it gets? I mean, what kind of punishment, short of torturing people, but then constitutionally we can't do that any more than we can take people's guns away constitutionally? But all I'm asking for is some answers, and they've got to start coming from the gun community, because there's guys like me that have been sticking my neck out for a long time for gun owners. I've been out here talking about it after Aurora, after God knows how many other slaughterhouses took place. I was here on the radio along with a bunch of other dumbasses talking about how, you know, people have the right to their gun. And they do. I'm not arguing that. But the gun community now and the NRA right on top of it, you guys better start coming up with some answers real fast. Because if you think that keeping your mouth shut and holding onto your gun and just not saying anything is winning you any friends, brother, take a look at what's happened now. Take a look at a guy like me, a guy that was on your side. Now I'm turning around, I'm looking at you, and I'm saying, you better give us some help here. Because now we're talking about little, tiny children. So let's go, let's hear it. What's your idea? And if you say tougher penalties on criminals, man, I'm going to lose it. We're talking about after these people that do this stuff, they're not thinking about the consequences. These are sociopaths or psychotic people who are not thinking about consequences. They're thinking that this is going to solve their problems. They're thinking that this is the best thing they could do. They're thinking that the government doesn't know and the society doesn't know. You don't know. I don't know. They know what's best, and they know that what they're going to do is kill their mother, go and kill a bunch of kids, and they're going to be fine. This is about little kids, okay? It ain't about your gun, and it's not about gun rights. And I don't care, and I'm not going to talk about it. You're fine, you're safe, okay? But the little kids are not, see? The world is not. People's lives are not. The only thing that's safe tonight, the only thing I can be absolutely sure is safe, is your stinking gun. Good for you, okay? My gun's okay, too. I own a gun. I own a shotgun. It's fine. I got no fear that Obama's coming into my house to take it, okay? Like that dumbass I saw on that comment thread.
That guy's talking about Obama?
These people, Obama's been president for 4 years. This ass is saying, I wonder what rights Obama's going to take away from us. He's already been president for 4 years, dumbass. Your guns are still fine. When are you going to believe, okay, that this isn't all about Obama? That a lot of this has got to do with a country, a society that's got some problems, okay? So why don't you just get off your high horse and get into the fray, man? Get into the mix. Come on in for the big win, like the man said, you know.
Inside, every American is a gun control advocate screaming to get out.
Whatever. We'll be right back.
What's whatever mean? That's a very good point.
Oh, bullcrap. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And more of this falderall. All right.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. I'm just going to be happy. I'll be happy when Christmas week arrives, you know. We're taking a week off between Christmas and New Year's, and we may never return. I'm kidding, but...
Sounds good.
It sounds fantastic. You know, I'll tell you something that's got to change. Something's got to change in this particular format of talk radio. You know, I bring to this format what I have for the last 22 years, which is an entertainment-style show. It's a theatrical thing that we do here. And I shouldn't even have to sit here and explain this to you, but we're so, our industry is so, you know, savaged and destroyed that, and by savaged, I don't mean Michael Savage, I mean absolutely savaged and destroyed by the people that run the business, that I have to explain to you what I do. But something's really got to change, because in my opinion, part of the problem is talk radio. And not because it's conservative, and not because it's liberal. That's got nothing to do with it. Because it's stupid. Because it's stupid. Not you aren't stupid, the listeners. I'm talking about the guys that are on the air. Now, it's one thing if you take a dumb guy like me, and I'm just trying to make people laugh. That's that. But it's another thing when you take a dumbass who thinks he's Mr. Conservative or Mr. America or Mr. Liberal or Mr. This or Mr. That, and he's going to tell you where it's at. Now what are you doing now, man? You are passing off some clown as a serious advocate or journalist. Half of these guys never even got out of high school. Half of them, I'll say it again, half of them never even got out of high school. They don't have any real entertainment value. They are, like I say, they're advocates or proponents or ideologues or whatever you want to call it. And they, you know, say the same thing that the next guy says. And what they've done is they have lent their voices to the ever deepening pile of cow crap that it is that we wade through every day in this country to try to find some truth about certain things, you know. So I think the country's doing fine, but this is a guy you're listening to right now who knows a little something about what he's talking about. I'm talking about the industry that I'm in that you guys have mistakenly thought was some sort of a marvelous place to go to be informed and be given the lowdown on what's really happening in this country. I got news for you. You ain't learning anything. You are simply the recipients of garbage. You know, your ears or your brains, garbage cans, and the guy that's laying that all on you, sea to shining sea, he couldn't argue his way out of a wet paper bag if it really got down to it. And he doesn't know what he's talking about. And the only thing he's invested in is making sure that he maintains his, you know, whatever it is, his formatic persona, which is he's Mr. Conservative or he's Mr. Liberal or he's Mr. Independent. There's another one that I love. And even if he's wrong, man, you ain't never going to know it because he's just going to be what that is. And there's nothing that's happening of value at all. And it really hits home with me when the country suffers through something like this. And then I got to suffer not nearly as much as the people that have been through this horror, but as Americans, then we have to be treated to the cynical, this cynical parade of garbage called talk radio. It's just a parade of stupid, man.
But Spike, why don't you ask Mommy to give you another helping of dumb?
Exactly. Ask Mommy to give you another helping of dumb this morning, because that's what it is, you know?
Well, you talk about giving another helping of dumb, who?
What?
You talking about who?
I'm talking about the talk show hosts that go to work every day in this country. Ask Mommy to give you another helping of dumb.
What if they moved out?
Moved out from what?
From their house.
Well, then have their wives give them another helping of dumb. I don't know.
Phil, I think somebody ought to give you another helping of dumb.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm not supposed to say this stuff. Is that it? You notice we haven't had any guests on tonight. You know why?
Why?
I've told these guys I don't want any.
Yeah, Mr. Hall's called a couple times.
I don't care. I ain't going to talk to him. I don't want to talk to any of them. So you can go ahead and call me dumb if you want, but I know from where I speak. Thank you very much. By the way, a little bit of news here, which I think is rather important. A federal judge late on Monday dealt Apple a major blow in its landmark battle with Samsung, denying the company's request to ban U.S. sales of smartphones from the South Korean electronics giant. U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh rejected Apple's request, stating that the Cupertino, California computer maker has not been able to show that Samsung's actions support an injunction. See, Apple thinks they own everything, and they may. But right now, the judge ain't buying it. Apple believes that what Samsung's using is all patent protected, it's all copyright protected, and Samsung is getting away with blind, cold-blooded murder. We will keep you abreast of this, and maybe then again we won't. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft with me, Phil Hendry. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for your each and every precious need, man. Just get over there and get yourself a backstage pass. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.